Hello again and welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where, as always, the focus is on connecting businesses with local sports and charities, both here in the UK and indeed throughout the world. It is my pleasure now to welcome Koi Sport elite member and the MD, the managing director and co-owner of the wide and various ME Group. This is Richard Hill. Richard, welcome. How do you do?
Hi, mate. Yeah, how are you? Yeah, not too bad at all. Thank you.
You're doing very, very well. I tell you, honestly, it's a joy in my life getting to talk to the Koi Sports members who do wonderful, wonderful things. So we value your time massively, Richard. Thank you.
No problem.
Richard, always, I'm very just fascinated because the people I get to speak to just do wonderful things for communities and lead very kind of benevolent lives, but always very entertaining ones. Never want it to be a job interview, Richard, but could you just give us and our listeners a bit of a context, a bit of a background to yourself and what took you to the ME Group?
Actually, it's ME Group. A lot of people say ME Group. We allow that to happen anyway. It's a common thing that's said. But the so essentially, we are almost 13 years old. As a company or as a group, if you like, we set up myself and my business partner Matt Elliott, hence the ME bit. Actually, that's how,
yes,
how
gotcha.
Because we started out life as the Matt Elliott Football Development Scheme, believe it or not. Which it's hard to believe now when you look at sort of like how we look now in terms of like just starting out, me and Matt with a couple of bags of footballs, doing the holiday camps and things like that. So we started out life as that 13 years ago, and slowly sort of evolved into the animal you see today, I suppose. So the initial evolution was from sort of just basically being a couple of football coaches.
Yes.
Obviously Matt's sort of football background speaks for itself.
Unless I'm mistaken, a Scotland international.
Yeah, almost as good a player as me. So obviously the pair of us, football backgrounds, mine a little bit more modest than his, but sort of on the local and non-league scene. Obviously I've been about a bit. So coaching was something we both did.
Yes.
Decided to do it together because we'd been mates for a lot of years before we started in business together. So that was sort of like a nice easy transition. Like I say, holiday camps developed into sort of not just coaching in holidays, coaching in the week, community clubs, etc. Then became schools asking us to get involved with them. Then became schools saying, "Well, is it just football that you do?" And then obviously it wasn't. I've got a sort of sports science and sports studies background. We both got decent sort of amateur careers in other sports as well. So we sort of topped up our coaching courses, coaching badges, and it evolved from there. And all of a sudden, we're delivering PE after school, breakfast clubs, that kind of thing. The whole school sport provision.
Brilliant.
I'm sort of briefly clogging 13 years into a very short period of time here. But then another evolution from that is the tools and clubs. We're working with clubs. We're delivering coaching in the community. Everybody sort of then begins to say, "Oh, can you get us kit? Can you get us equipment?" Yeah. That kind of thing. Hence, that was the very early start of what you see now with the retail section that we've got as well. Kit supply, equipment, yep, workwear, that kind of thing, the printing and embroidery services. So the business sort of, again, just sort of growing and evolving. Then we sort of, with our sort of work in education and sport delivery in schools, we get the opportunity to sort of become a training provider, if you like, and ME Education as a brand is born. So you've got ME Sports, ME Sports in the community, ME Education. And then alongside the whole thing along the way, with sort of Matt's profile, if you like, and a lot of guys that we've worked with and have worked for us in the past, a lot of other ex-professionals. We had a sort of, I don't like to say sideline because it sounds a bit Trotters Independent Traders, but we had a sort of, an offset sort of branch of our business that was doing events and, yes. and memorabilia and things like that. So again, if you look on our website, you'll see that those are the four brands, and that's called memorabilia and merchandise for the clever use of the ME again in the branding. So so in 13 years, actually, when I say it out loud like that, it's we've come a long way.
What a journey.
And got very, very busy, and you can probably see a lot of grey in this hair now.
But I tell you what, you'll take those grey hairs, won't you? Because at the end of the day, yeah. What a voyage, what a juggernaut, I would say, from very humble origins to where you're at now. It must be the fact, though, to me, that's really come through there, is that I think you must be quite lucky, quite content, in that no doubt about it, it's stressful. I mean, goodness me, I could only imagine. But ultimately, it does strike me, Richard, that you are one of life's winners who gets to earn a living doing what they love.
Yeah, well, that is a good point. And as a conversation that does come up quite often, actually, with my sons, actually. I've got two young boys, as well as two older girls. But the boys obviously, talk sport and enjoy sport and play sport. And I always say to people now, not that it's been the case for my whole life, but certainly this last 13 years, that we've actually built something that, going to work is a pleasure each day, because the whole business is built around myself and Matt's interests, hobbies, yes. talents, however you want to put it. So it is kind of like the ideal world, really. And like I say, hard work, gone through a lot of, a lot of sort of tough periods to get where we are today. And by no means the finished article, we're currently working on, certainly in our ME Sports in the Community brand, yes. which is set up now as a non-profit CIC.
Yes.
We obviously, because we can access funding to be able to deliver things for children and communities for free. But that, we have got a sort of growth model in place for that as well at the moment, and our retail as well, because that that department has that ain't really my cup of tea, if I'm honest.
Sure.
But we obviously now we employ people to do that side. Yeah. At the time, it was an opportunity that was probably sort of like, oh, hang on, yeah. You know, in the early days of business, you don't miss out on little opportunities that turn up. So, but we are sort of growing that as well. Well, it's growing itself naturally, but we have got plans to change the shape of that a little bit and make that a little bit bigger as well. So we're not finished article, not sitting back saying, We've had a good time.
Evolution is the key, isn't it? But one thing that's kind of impressed me here is just the evolution you've taken, the willingness to take on new challenges, to sort of evolve as things develop and opportunities present themselves. Richard, a lot of people, I think, have aspirations to be something of an entrepreneur, to follow their passions. But there are things that, I guess, that hold us back. What would you say as a man who's been through all this? And now, as you say, you wouldn't be peaches and cream. Let's not picture it like that. But at the end of the day, to pursue your passion and to earn a living doing that, what would your advice would you give to somebody kind of maybe with those dreams, maybe talking a good game, but not yet converted that to a reality?
Yeah. Be realistic. It is very important, and be patient, because that question, our trade or the sports coaching industry is a very, very good example of sort of fly by night, flash in the pan examples, because a lot of people, and we've had them work for us in the past. So we've built what we've built in terms of our sort of coaching side of the business, and working in schools, working in community.
Yes.
We now deliver for councils, all sorts of organisations, schools, universities, colleges, and we've got a good reputation of doing what we do. A lot of people think they can go, nip down Sports Direct, buy a bag of footballs and you know, undercut everybody and turn up and go and do it. And these people don't last because they're not realistic. They think that you know, you can just literally do that and earn money from the word go and make a fortune. Obviously, the you know yourself that the realistic world or the real world is that it's hard work.
Absolutely.
Very, very tough times, certainly early on. At times, sometimes you think, was it, you know, is this the right way to go? Is it easier just to get a job?
Yeah.
And let someone else worry about how everyone's paid at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But I suppose, like you say, it's enthusiasm, passion, and belief. And that's so at times, as hard as it can be, you are doing what you love. And if you can see in the end, the you know, the end goal, and like, I'm not saying where we're at today, we're far from millionaires, but we've made it work and we've grown and people see us and are aware of us. We've got our own buildings now, we're going into new centres, new branches, and yeah, in essence, that's the biggest thing. And throughout, you've got to remain like patient but realistic. It doesn't happen overnight. We're still doing it now, 13 years on. We're still not where, you know, we want to be. There's no exit strategy in place. Mm-hmm. You know, we do what we do. We love doing it. And, you know, like I said, we're growing and extending the business rather than sort of thinking, right, where do we get off? And they're probably the, you know, hard work, determination. You can throw all the sort of cliche words in, but like, be realistic because it don't happen overnight.
And, absolutely. But again, I appreciate the fact that you've done all of those things and have come an awful long way. I'm really intrigued by the kind of the dynamic in kind of interrelationship between the four strands or brands within the ME group. There's ME Education, ME Sports in the community, ME Sports, and that beautiful kind of using that ME powerfully in the memorabilia and merchandise side of things.
Yeah.
Just give me an idea, if you can, about how these four kind of work together as one.
I'm sure probably, you know, you would hazard a guess at how, and you'd probably be correct. So, like I say, in terms of the timeline, you know, sports coaching came first. Sort of offshoots of retail came second, with events running alongside of it, and then we got into this sort of education and the training provision after that. But obviously, we sort of branded and rebranded as, you know, as time went by, because obviously the way the business grew and evolved. In essence, I'd like to sort of do some hypothetical examples. So we could be working with a school, and now, the way the business is now, we could provide that school, A, with their PE provision, their sports provision, their after-school activities, and their after-school program. Not just in sport either now. We do, you know, a lot of other things as well, like sort of arts and crafts, PSHE, and more sort of adverse things like forest schools, outdoor pursuits, that kind of thing as well. So we might provide a school with their full PE program, their after-school provision, potentially their breakfast club and sort of lunchtime activities as well. However, and then naturally, say that's our sort of starting point. That's the school we've been working with for the last 10 years. As the business has sort of broadened and evolved, we would have introduced those brands to our current customers. So we may have a school where we do all that. We also supply their sportswear and equipment, for example, their school team kits, their staff uniform, T-shirts, polo. Sort of, you know, with our sort of workwear element of the retail sector, and as well as that, when the training provision came along, we may upskill their staff, i.e., their inset days, first aid, health and safety, safeguarding courses. We may have a you know, be delivering their apprenticeship scheme. So upskilling the staff as well through our training arm. So there is some, and then if you then broaden that to a sports club, you know, we could be providing them with coaches to do their sort of junior section or their senior section or whatever the case may be. We could be supplying their kit and equipment and things like that. On, as you've probably seen on our website, the retail side has like club shops, if you like. So their members and users and parents and children are buying through their club shop, which then creates a fundraiser for the club as well. And we obviously provide it and send it out. So we could, and then we could also be doing sort of like events on occasions for those clubs or helping them with their fundraisers through the memorabilia merchandise brand. So in some of our sort of customers, if you like, might be working with all four brands. But equally, there'd be as many of them that are working with one of the brands, or we do through the education sector. Certainly, you know, we work with businesses upskilling their staff. So, like, it might not be a business in sport. It might be a warehousing company or, you know, electrical company or something like that. So we a lot, because we started in sport and we're very sort of sporty in our image, if you like, and that'll never change because that's our origination, I suppose.
Sure.
But a lot of people don't realise that we do provide, you know, apprenticeship, BTEC, traineeship in all sorts of things, as well as sport, like, you know, warehousing, sales, customer service, digital skills. So a lot of people don't realise how broad the business is.
Amazing array of options, and just a really fascinating and ever-evolving kind of model there based on some very strong core values. Richard, people listening, intrigued, want to learn more, maybe find out to dip their toe in with you guys and then begin to explore that relationship. What's the best way to engage? What's the website and how to touch base on social media?
Yeah, I was just going to say the website is the way we set our sort of, I say new, it's been there a while now, but we did change the website a while ago to open up with, we were talking about it before we went on air, weren't we? You open the website and you've got the four brands sat in front of you, and then you can go and visit each brand. So www.megroup-uk.co.uk. If you go onto there, obviously you're met with the four logos of the brands, and you can go and visit each brand separately. Obviously there's the normal icons on the top, the testimonials, our charity, which we spoke about earlier, Hope For, the work that we do with them, you know, some sort of contact details and things like that as well, and then the drop down menus from there. But the main four brands are on there, and as you go into the main four brands, you've got the four or five different social media pages. All four brands have got all the social media pages, so you can go and visit them separately. And you could spend a while on our website, I reckon.
But there's so much in there, and I'm wowed by it. Truly, I am. One thing that's very key, and we're going to talk about partnership. Obviously, that's what we're all about here at Koi Sports. You've got some amazing partnerships, of course. Both yourself and Matt Elliott's background, I'm sure, played a part in this. But of course, Leicester City involved. I think sports leaders, Invest Learning, school institutes there. Just give me an idea of the critical role partnership plays within everything to do with the ME Group as you continue your evolution.
Yeah, huge. In all sort of, as you'll see again on the website and all our sort of marketing, we always promote our partners, and we've got partners in every walk of life, which creates that sort of networking exchange of business. You know, people call it back scratching. Again, it's a little bit sort of you know, trotters independent traders, but the you know, the principle is, as you've said, you've just named, you know, a few of them. We have partners in education. We have partners in different sports. Yes. So we'll run programs in certain sports, which will also be in association with or backed by professional clubs who then work with us, and then vice versa. You know, they might get us in or utilize our coaching staff from time to time. Invent Learning, you mentioned that there are sort of alternative provision partners. So we've actually got in our headquarters on a day-to-day basis is also an alternative provision for, you know, children that aren't getting on very well at school and need something different to allow them to engage and learn in their own way. So that's, you know, that's another, you know, massive part of what we're doing. I could go on forever. All Play Solutions is another one. So they do like playground and school construction. So what we try and do for schools is if any of our schools want some work doing on the playground, line marking, or some, you know, climbing apparatus building, or one recent one, Heather Primary School, just down the road from me. My two boys go there, actually. Yes. Just had a big outdoor sort of canopy built. And what we do is we help the school by getting All Play to do it, like, I don't want to say cheaper, but a more reasonable cost. And, you know, due to utilising our partnership and our connections. But also it then creates what All Play do is every time they do something like that for our schools or within our partnership network, they create a reinvestment figure, if you like, that then goes back into that school's PE. So basically they'll give us a reinvestment figure from, you know, the project, if you like, a reward from the project, which then we give straight back to the school in PE.
That's what partnership is all about, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's that circle all the way around from start to finish. And then we'll get the canopy, they get it at a better price than they would from sort of, you know, Joe Blogs or the companies that aren't involved with, you know, our partnership or our community. And at the end of it, it results in our guys delivering more PE for free to the school.
Absolutely.
And just that circle's just completely gone all the way around and completed at the other end. And it goes back to the starting point where me and the head at that school have sat down sorting out what we can do next. So that's a good example.
I mean, and look, it's win-win. It's win-win. Yeah. It's not every day you find win-wins. And it did make me smile when you kind of try to kind of give this a bit of a framework, when you kind of say, you know, it's a bit back-scratchy. At the end of the day, for me, that's cynical. What it is again, we are living in a very competitive world. And everybody, it's a very ever-changing world. I think now, more than ever, what people need to realise as you embrace and live is the importance of relationship and networking and sharing and pooling resources for the better of a collective, if that makes sense.
No, 100%. And that, like I say, that's just an example, but that's how all those, because a lot of people sort of think, oh, they've banged a few logos on the bottom for exposure purposes. No. Nobody pays to have them logos there or whatever. They are all genuine partnerships that work, and we work for each other and with each other on, you know, all the different walks of life. And ours is quite diverse because of the the four brands within the group. But they're all genuine partnerships, and they all work in that similar way to the example I just gave you, or a couple of examples I just gave you. Creating business for everybody, and the ultimate end line user, i.e. the community, are the winners at the end as well. So
it's what it's all about. For more information, explore this website. It's a wealth of information, and it truly is kind of breathing life into communities, giving so many opportunities. Richard, once again, remind me, please, of that overarching website.
www.megroup-uk.co.uk, and it gets you on the main home screen, and then explore from there, enter and visit each brand. It's very easy to use, basically, like you say, it gives all the information that I've been talking about here today.
To use a slightly kind of trendy term, there is so much synergy between the ethos there of the ME Group and everything that kind of underlies and is at the heart of what the Koi Sport Network is all about. With that in mind, again, with the spirit of partnership, I'm always fascinated to learn, Richard. I know you've been a kind of long-term member. How did you initially get involved with Koi Sports?
Yeah, so going back a bit now, to be fair, I think me and Dave, again, typical, you know, probably the answer you would expect, met probably through a another business acquaintance or a mutual connection. In fact, yes, it was. I've just remembered. Yeah, it was. Basically, the conversation then happened. It was a guy who used to work for us, actually. And he said, you know, you might be interested in talking to this guy. This is what they do. Explain to me loosely the sort of core sports model. And then Dave came in to see us, and, you know, we straight away got involved. I like the model that that Koi have got going there. Again, it's another one of those nice stories where, you know, somebody gives something and it's connected with somebody else, and then everybody sort of gains a bit of business from it, and ultimately there's you know, a charity that gains a bit from it, and a grassroots sports club as every elite champion can support a different grassroots sport club each year, or the same club each year. That again, massive synergy for us, because we work with a lot of sports clubs, obviously. You know, I've been a sportsman all my life. My boys are, you know, very, very keen sportsmen. Nice. Multiple sports involved. So, you know, again, it just ticks all the boxes. And then Dave's Koi Sports has obviously helped us to sort of find various sort of funding for different projects at times when we, not saying we haven't found funding for stuff, anything that he can add funding is something else that's funded, and, you know, the community don't need to pay for it. Because we try, obviously, when we first started, it was a case of if we delivered a soccer tots community session at a local community centre, or you know, a basketball club at a school or something like that, you know, somebody's paying for it. But obviously, as time goes by, we try and get everything funded that we can, where applicable, utilize our sort of connections, the commercial network as well of Koi, that sometimes can create some funding. Like I say, the projects such as the one I spoke about earlier with partner companies, then saying, well, that's now created you X amount that you can put into the community. We've got a lot of local businesses here that will say, you know, we like you, that you deliver walking football to, you know, senior people in three or four different areas. We'd like to, you know, give you £500 out of our community fund to pay for as many sessions as that will cover. So we try and make it free to the end line user. Not saying people can't afford it, but it also creates that equality and diversity where, you know, it's not that, you know, so and so child or adult can afford to come or not afford to come. Absolutely. It opens it up to everybody.
It's and just, we're also accessible for as many people provider. As possible, really, I suppose.
Yeah. And another project now, we're also now a half provider, which you probably haven't heard of, but you will have when I sort of expand on it. So Marcus Rashford's project for free school meals. Obviously, a bit half is holidays and food. So essentially, the project which Marcus Rashford was backing has created funding for children that get free school meals to be able to receive that in the holidays in the form of free holiday activity clubs and being fed. So we now, our holiday clubs are now, if a child is or a family are in receipt of benefit related free school meals, they can attend for free, and that's funded by the HAF project. But equally, there could be a kid sat next to them in the same holiday club whose parents paid for him to be there, and there's no difference. Nobody knows any difference. Everybody's treated exactly the same. There's no HAF place, and as far as the kids are concerned, they're all in there.
All in the same pub.
Like I say, it's diverse. Everybody, you know, equality. Everybody can be, it's fully inclusive. And again, it's another situation where everybody wins and everybody's, you know, everybody's happy.
I just love that because, do you know what? It makes me sad sometimes to think that there is a need for this, but obviously there is. I think back on my youth, going back to, I think maybe dinosaurs were walking the earth around about that time. And the summer holidays, the Easter holidays, you know, I was so lucky. It was just bliss. It was 2 weeks of joy, you know. But for so many parents, that's additional time where, again, there's the extra cost of this and that. It must be just so mega stressful. And I just think it's amazing that you've got this connection, this strand to what you do, helping people massively as they need it. But again, like you say, crucially, nobody's labelled and everybody, whoever's involved, just gets to enjoy the power of sport and engaging in community work. It's beautiful. Thank you for doing that, Richard.
No, fine. Yeah. It's and there is an element of food education and health and well-being involved in those holiday camps as well. So it's not your sort of stereotypical, you know, turn up and play football every day for a week. It's you know, there's a great deal of thought and planning that goes into it now. So it's a nice mix of different activities, different sports. We do, included in it is sort of, like I say, classroom activities as well, like arts and crafts, jewellery making, sort of different creative things. There, taste testing, are introduced to new vegetables and food, you know, things like nature walks and stuff like that as well. It combines. So I think that's, you know, that's a positive as well, because maybe the old sort of stereotypical holiday club that we've been used to for years, like sports holiday clubs, has probably, the market has been a bit saturated, and they've become a bit old hat. And I think it's more difficult now to get the kids off the PlayStation and into the real world. So I think this creates, again, makes it a bit more broad and a bit more inclusive, because it's not just your sport billy that goes now. It's you know, everybody can do different things on different days, involve themselves. We have sort of three or four members of staff at each doing different activities all day. Right. There's drama, there's dance, you know, as well as the sort of things I've mentioned before. So, yeah, it's a great project. Yeah,
so dynamic, really powerful, educational. It's just benefiting our community. And I know that is basically at the absolute core of everything that you guys there at the ME Group are all about. Just coming back briefly to your relationship here with Koi Sports, and it's brilliant to hear that you've truly embraced this and have worked within and through it to benefit both yourself and the other people. But your partnership is massively helping a community club, I think, quite close to your heart. Again, you've mentioned a few times throughout this conversation that your kids' love of sport. I think they're involved with Rugby Town Cricket Club, and it's Rugby Town who are going to be benefiting a bit from your Koi Sports support. Again, just give us an idea of the grassroots value that Rugby Town Cricket Club are all about.
Obviously the Koi Sports involvement means that they very kindly donate some money to charity, sort of on my behalf, if you like, and also to a grassroots sports club of the particular champions choice. My chosen one this year is Rugby Town, as you say, Rugby Town Cricket Club. Predominantly my involvement there, although I have played cricket, although they've just not long dragged me out of retirement, actually. But years ago, I played cricket for a long, long time at a decent sort of standard. So I'm actually playing in the first team now, due to a few old acquaintances, friends from previous cricket clubs, being there now and dragging me in. But initially, the reason I ended up in that position was that my boys both went down there to join their quick cricket section when they were only like tiny. They weren't really old enough to play, but both quite decent sportsmen, both got good hand eye coordination and got on with it, and now gone from strength to strength, and they've both been playing at the club for about 3 or 4 years. 4 years, I think. Yeah, 4 years. They've got a good junior section there. They've got, like I say, quick cricket, which technically is under 10s, but they do include sort of younger children, under 11s, under 13s, 15s, 17s, through to two senior teams. And yeah, good club setup, made sense to, although the lads do play football and rugby as well, it made sense to go with Rugby Town. And try and help them out a little bit. Like I said, I've sort of played sport and been involved with sports clubs, you know, all my life. And I know the challenges, the daily challenges that grassroots clubs face, which is worse now than ever. Okay. A, with the cost of living and everything else, and power and facilities we've had, you know. We managed to go this far without mentioning COVID. I hate talking about it now, but obviously that created its own set of challenges.
Absolutely.
For not just sports clubs, but businesses and individuals and people worldwide. So, yeah, I think even the smallest amounts and little amounts and little bits of support that these clubs can get is worthwhile. And, yeah, nice to be able to nominate them as receiving a few quid. And like I say, we work with Rugby anyway, not just on obviously a personal level, but on a professional level we work with Rugby as well. Again, going back into our four brands, they've you know, they've had as fundraising, the memorabilia and merchandise brand, fundraising at their events, you know, auctions, raffles, that kind of thing. We've also done some coaching in connection with the club. We've also done some education in connection with the club, where we did a principles of coaching seminar there. So we upskilled their sort of players and staff. And so they you know, had involvement with the ME Education brand. It'll take you long. Website to click on and find Rugby Town's club shop and their merchandise and kit that you can buy, or their members can buy through our website direct, you know, from their club shop, which again creates a bit of revenue for the club itself, you know, from the members making purchases. So we support them anyway, but it was nice to be able to do this little bit extra.
Absolutely. Personally. And you know what, you're dead right. You know, we get it. It's been a crazy, crazy time. It's affected people, you know, in ways that were unforeseen. But I do think that the sporting grassroots has been absolutely shaken. And it's my firm belief that grassroots are absolutely at the heart of local communities and operate on a level whereby, you know, some of whom will grow into our futures for sporting stars, which of course keeps us all entertained. Others will just go through life and benefit from the kind of discipline, community spirit, respect that being involved with a local community sports club in any level, in whatever shape or form it takes, will give you. So, you know, I know they're massively grateful. I'm looking forward to hearing very great shortly from Stephen McLeod from Rugby Town Cricket Club. But coming back, though, to the world of the ME Group, it's been fascinating to hear of the many diverse ways that you operate. But it was interesting to hear you talk earlier on about the fact that this is not a place where you rest on laurels. I know there are big goals. Don't necessarily want you to kind of express or kind of explain what's kind of, you know, next. But just in terms of aspiration, Richard, where would you see yourself kind of progressing to? What's the next trajectory do you see?
Good question. And like I said earlier, there is plans in place. The thing obviously now is that we are at the moment very Midlands, let's say. So the natural progression now is to is to start to grow and expand, let's say, a bit further afield. And with our ME Sports in the Community brand, that is the way we see the avenue to the growth, where we are looking at putting what we're going to call, or we are calling, we've recently opened a couple satellite centres in different areas. So basically, a small branch of the ME Sports and the community brand is created in another community. Lincoln is one, an area in Lincoln is one that's been mentioned. Aston is another.
Okay.
There's a couple of potential centres in the Black Country. In Leicestershire, as we've got a satellite centre, which is owned up, which obviously touches three borders. So these centres are sort of like basically delivering into those communities what we deliver from, you know, the year dot in our area. But that, I think, then creates the growth for the other branches of the business, where we then look at, once these centres are in place, they will have obviously all the community involvement in terms of the, you know, the activities that we put on and the services that we provide to the community and local schools. But then also the ME Education brand will come into play with any businesses in that area that want to, you know, be upskilling their staff or, you know, utilising our training provision. There's also the potential for BTEC programs, BTEC centres in those areas. And as we, again, go back to the alternative provision, you know, alternative provision education through our partners, Invent Learning. And ultimately, all these areas have got, every centre we open, we'll have surrounding clubs, schools, and communities that can utilise utilise our company headquarters. We've got a couple of centres already, satellite centres. Those centres you will slowly now see grow into like further afield from the Midlands and into the rest of the UK.
It's a wonderful business model, and it's going to ripple and grow, I think, naturally as you kind of get these centres building. Richard, it's a really fascinating world you're leading. I think you're doing amazing things. Once again, remind me and everybody listening of how we can learn everything to do with the ME Group through that kind of, I guess, hub website.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. www.meGroup-UK. Obviously, I won't tell you the links to every single social media, but we've got all the social media platforms for all the brands. But if you go onto the website, you can click each of the four brands that you met with the homepage, click on which brand you want to visit. And again, it pops up the icons there to visit all those social media pages, as well as the information regarding that that particular brand, what we offer. And there's an expression of interest form on there and ways to contact us and get in touch with with any inquiries that anybody may have.
I would absolutely urge everybody just to have a little play around with that website. It's really fascinating. And again, I'm just really massively impressed by how naturally all these diverse aspects kind of work together, kind of powering the whole engine. Richard, once again, hit me up with that website, please.
Yeah, no problem. www.megroup-uk.co.uk.
Splendid. Just before I let you go, and it has been a real fascinating conversation, I really appreciate your time massively. Is there anything in closing that you'd like to leave us with, crystallise, or just draw to our attention at all?
Yeah, I suppose it wouldn't be right of me to go without saying now and giving a little plug to the Koi Sports, the reason we're here, Koi Sports model and network. I would recommend to any business to get involved to some level. Like I say, it creates opportunities and at the same time supports, you know, causes. And if you can do that, not many people can afford to be sort of, throwing big lumps of money out at people. But there is ways out there. Absolutely. And we have the same within our club community network. And as you've just pointed out, our business, our group is almost a mini network of its own, where not only can you find on there what you want to find for yourself, but you can support other things at the same time, which means that, we can all support people without having to, throw money about. So the Koi Sports model is excellent. Like I say, it's they're you know, they've sort of got a similar ethos to us, haven't they? I'm sure you'd agree.
Absolutely.
Very similar. Like you say, synergy is the word. There's a lot of similarities. And, you know, like I say, supporting the grassroots world as well. Rugby Town, obviously, is my chosen sport, but or my chosen club for this year. But if, you know, there's a lot of members and then a lot of people supporting a lot of clubs. So, yeah, again, not just sort of have a look at us, but Koi Sports is, and thank you to them for the opportunities.
Richard, brilliantly expressed. Really value those words and those thoughts, and I've really enjoyed your company. I'd like to take a moment in closing to wish yourself, your partner, Matt Elliott, and everybody involved with the ME Group every continued success, joy, and happiness. Thank you once again for your time.
Thank you very much.
Earlier in this very podcast, we've just heard from Elite Koi Sports member Richard Hill. Richard's membership will go towards supporting Rugby Town Cricket Club. And from that very club, we are now joined by Steve McLeod. Steve, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Self?
Doing really well. Really appreciate you asking. Yeah, no good. Grumbles. Can't complain. Good man. Good stuff. Steve, before we learn all about Rugby Town Cricket Club, I'm always curious to get to know the people I'm talking with. So if you could just give me a little bit of insight into yourself, your own, I guess, cricketing story, and what took you to Rugby Town Cricket Club.
Well, basically, it's a family thing. Started playing in our team and obviously then through to the first team eventually. But it was a family thing. My granddad started playing initially. Oh, in fact, I think it was actually my dad started playing initially and then my granddad got involved, obviously his dad. And then there's also two other brothers that played for the club. So it's well within our blood.
Nice. A real family affair then. That's absolutely fantastic. And give us the context of Rugby Town Cricket Club. How long have you guys been established? Again, that family fair running through it. And how many teams do you operate?
So the club was actually established in 1881. So quite a long while ago. And they've played on the same ground all the time. So what's that, nearly 150 years ago now. Yes, so yeah. Approaching. So, so I've been there a long while. We have actually had people through history play for England as well. So years ago. They have actually made the international level, but currently at the moment we've just got two senior teams, and we have got a thriving junior section. We've got juniors from All Stars, which is ages 4 to 6, I believe they are, 4 to 7, and then they move up to quick cricket. Then we've got the under 10s, under 11s, under 13s, under 15s, and then this is our first season with under 17s. I think since I was an under 17, so. It's basically, we had a full reset probably about 12 years ago, and it's just all coming to fruition now, so all good.
As they used to say in the A-team, you've got to love it when a plan comes together. That's absolutely fantastic. I'm always curious about the kind of interrelationship between the crucial role of grassroots sports within our communities and, of course, right up to the elite. You mentioned there in your heritage, an England player. Has the kind of phenomenon of T20 impacted on youngsters picking up a bat, wanting to play, changing the way people do address and just generally play the game, I wonder?
Massively, to be honest. There's a lot more kids now seem to want to come because they see it on the telly. I think English success is huge to the success of local cricket. Now, obviously, T20 came along, blown every other sport, every other version of the game out of the water. They all now want to be Chris Gayle. They all now want to be Ben Stokes. But then at the same time, to be honest, as now England are finding with the five ball game, they've put all their eggs in one basket. Mm. And there is still part of the game there where people need to learn how to hold a bat and bat for a little bit longer and them
building
sort of
innings, come on people, building innings. That's that's the discipline that I love about the test match version of the game. But
to be fair, I would say if you ask 95% of actual cricketers that play on Saturday, the five-day game is the pinnacle, that's the elite. But then, to be fair, at the same time, I wouldn't go and watch Leicestershire play in a in a 4-day game in the County Championship, but I would I'm always down there watching the T20s. So sort of a little bit hypocritical, you could say.
No, I totally get it. Again, I embrace it. You know, I think it's so positive. You've already mentioned, of course, rippling down to this grassroots, that excitement, which is going to keep the game alive, which is what every sport needs. But as I say, I'm always going to be, I guess, something of a dinosaur myself, always kind of a focus on that kind of test match arena. But there we go. Anyway, on the arena of the here and now, again, it's amazing. It's the Koi Sports support and members, they do phenomenal things. We've heard already from Richard Hill. I know he's very keen and delighted to be sponsoring and supporting you guys there at Rugby Cricket Club. Just give us an idea of how important that kind of support is, particularly to keep this booming kind of youth culture developing.
Well, it's huge, to be honest. As everything else in the world, everything has gone up astronomically in price. So obviously, with all them junior teams, the amount of equipment we need to keep them busy. Obviously, now we have to try and keep up with other sports as much as you can. Whereas if they join football clubs, they get free training gear, things like that. Now, I never had that when I was a junior. That was something that you always had to buy. Obviously, parents now, they're shelling out for everything. If we can help them along the way by providing playing shirts, caps, jumpers, anything like that. And like I say, all the training equipment, we'd literally last season we had a second net sponsored to us, which is just shy of £1,000 now.
Amazing.
Clubs like ours don't have thousands and thousands sitting around. We've not got huge sponsors. We're grateful for everything we do get, but we've not got a money man, so to speak, whereas some clubs do have where they can throw money at it. So we try and scrimp and save wherever we can.
Just talk to me about the sense of community there at Rugby Town Cricket Club. Obviously, when we are into the height of the season, do you get that sense of almost being, you know, really at the fore of kind of village and community life?
Not so much now as what we used to, which is quite disappointing. We are based right in the centre of the village, and we used to have loads of people come and sit down, come and watch and everything. But I think cricket in general is like that in village life. I think people just ignore it. It's still got this stigma, in my opinion, that it's an old man's game, cheese sandwiches and that sort of thing, it's tea and everything. I don't think they realise that the game is moving on some people. Unfortunately, it's not helped us that we're having a bit of a crisis with our facilities at the moment. But that's hopefully something that's going to get ironed out over the next 12 months. So we've currently lost the bar, which we all know that everyone likes to drink. Sure. So sit down, watch cricket with a pint in your hand. You can't beat it. But no, hopefully we always advertise. We like people to come along. We are a very, very social club. Mm-hmm. We all play for the social side of the game, not to win trophies. We all go in all the local pubs and use the local establishments. So we try and give as much back as they give us, to be honest.
Absolutely brilliant. And again, I would encourage anybody listening in that kind of area, if you are around, get involved. And maybe if you're a youngster, maybe never picked up a bat, maybe seen some of it on the TV, want to learn the skills, play some cricket. Steve, what's the best way for us all to engage with you guys there at Rugby Town Cricket Club?
Well, to be honest, we have got Facebook and Twitter, so you can get in touch with us that way. My email, my phone number's on there, but there is plenty of people you can talk to. Even just come down, like I say, we start our nets in 2 weeks' time, I think, outdoors, weather permitting. There'll be someone there virtually 7 days a week. So literally just come and say hello, say you want to start. And as I said, we've got everything from four-year-olds up to 54-year-olds. So we're looking for players of all abilities.
Truly something for everybody. Honestly, what can you lose? Get involved and you may well fall in love, find that sense of community, and maybe it will change your life. Honestly, just truly give it a whirl. You have got nothing at all to lose and everything to gain.
Males and females as well.
Again, at the top level, but I love it at the grassroots. Are there any kind of particular teams in your local area where you look out for the fixtures where you think that's the grudge match?
We have a couple, Newtown Linford and Kirby Muxloe. They're our two neighbours. Kirby, at the moment, they're not in our league. They're one league above, I believe. But we do play Newtown Linford. The last couple of seasons we've played them, we play them again this year. And we're quite, there's, as much as you have rivalry, we are actually friends with a lot of the players that play for them. So there's a little bit of added edge to it. So it's always good to play against them.
Local banter, local sort of bragging rights at stake. I love that about kind of grassroots sports. Steve, for me, it's a joy to speak with you. I think you're absolutely the embodiment of everything that grassroots sports is all about. We're delighted. I know Richard is delighted to be supporting you. Once again, reminders of the best ways to engage either social media or, hey, get down in real life. Who'd have thought? Get down in real life and support rugby. What's the best ways to engage?
I would say real life, to be honest. You learn a lot more. We'll invite you back. You can come and take part whenever we have nets and whatnot. And we've got 4 or 5 different coaches, all of different levels. So we're all there to help out and hopefully try and get more people into the game, male and female, and like I say, of all ages.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, the women did brilliantly, just losing out to Australia narrowly in the most recent World Cup. They're doing great guns. And again, if you're in play or never played or just curious, massively encourage you to get down to Rugby Town Cricket Club, speak to some of the friendly people there and give it a whirl. As I say, it might change your life. And if you don't have good time, you just move away. Life goes on, but you can't lose by trying. That's all I'm saying. Steve, is there anything else you'd like to just kind of crystallise or bring to our attention in closing at all?
No, apart from I just want to say thank you to everyone for the support. And hopefully we can get his name out there and we'll also hopefully get your names out there and increase everyone's names at grassroots levels.
Top man, that's what it's all about. Share and share alike as we work together in this very challenging world. But it is when great people work in unison, I'm a big believer that great things do happen. Steve, I want to wish you, the whole crew there at Rugby Town Cricket Club, all the very best for the coming season. I'm sure it's going to be a success. Thank you so much for your time just now.
Thank you.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members and, of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.